everyone, and welcome to Filibusters. Mike and John here. As I always say, we are back.
We are back, and you know what? It's
and I'm back. I'm back in black. See, look, see.
That's very AC/DC of you. I like that. That's good. Yeah, it's good. You're about to rock. For those about to rock,
I salute myself.
You salute yourself.
That's right.
Because that's about the only AC/DC songs that would be politically correct on a political show to talk about on.
It's probably true. Probably true. So how you been doing, John?
Doing fantastic. I got to tell you that, you know, I'm looking out the window today and I'm seeing sunshine. And then I look out the window again and it's raining. I'm getting all four seasons at my house today. And it's all, you know, just been 20 minutes.
Yeah, same here. We just had a hailstorm a little while ago. So, you know. It's getting sunny now. It's getting cheery now. The energy's picking up. So we have a special guest. They're all special, aren't they? All our guests are special, right?
They're all special, but this is extra special.
This is extra special. This is a hometown guest here for me. So we have with us today, and it's been about a year, I think. Been about a year, but he's back. He's also back in black. He's got a black shirt on as well. So there's that. Is the mayor of Battleground, Adrian Cortez. Adrian, welcome back to Filibusters.
Hey, Mike and John, thank you so much. You know, I'm kind of disappointed with you guys talking about AC/DC. I thought you would at least have the intro to me of Thunder, you know.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, John, maybe we can make that happen. Thunderstruck a little bit. Come on.
It already happened in post-production.
How are things? I mean, I kind of know the answer to this, but how are things going in Battleground?
You know, things are going great. We, you know, the city's starting to slowly but surely reopen, just like many other cities across our state. But in terms of some of the important, you know, financial components of our city, things are going really, really good. Don't get me wrong. There's still people that are struggling in terms of individuals and businesses, and we're going to do our best, or I'm going to do my best to continue to help support them. But things are definitely moving in the right direction for Battleground.
So you became mayor last January. So you were mayor in normal times for about 2 months, and then came COVID. So How has your brief experience being mayor when we didn't have a pandemic compared to where we're at right now? Like, do you even remember those that time at all?
Oh boy, it seems like it was just yesterday, doesn't it? Yeah. Actually, I was filming for about 4.5 hours filming our State of the City address, and we're actually doing it kind of a unique twist this year, unlike anything we've done in years previous. And so I actually was able to go into council chambers at City Hall, and it has been quite some time since I've been in there. Yeah. It felt kind of surreal walking in there. So, because as you know, we're you know, most municipalities are virtual these days. So,
yeah.
So speaking of City Hall, now, I mean, obviously, I think that the city of Battleground needs to toot their own horn as far as, didn't you guys just pay that off? And was that, you know, what was the details around that?
Absolutely. So our last city budget, it was probably the, I told one reporter called me and asked me about it and said, you know, wanted some details. And I said, you know what? It's kind of a juxtaposition in terms of, while, you know, we're in the midst of COVID and still economic turmoil for many people, but in terms of our city's finances, it's probably one of the most solid budgets I've been a part of. And one of the things that allowed us to do was with the support of my peers, my city council members, it allowed us to pay off our City Hall mortgage. And so we paid it off. We own our City Hall free and clear now. We're going to be paying off our community center early sometime this year. So that will be paid off as well. We did some phenomenal things. Our property taxes, the levy rate went from $1.35 to $1.29. We were able to invest over $1.2 million towards our city roads, of which $900,000 is just in our street preservation program alone. And most importantly, we were able to invest heavily in our police with additional street patrols, detective work, revitalize our canine program, and then hire an additional school resource officer. So we did all of that with a backdrop of, with the support of my council, because I have to give them credit, because it's a team effort here. But we did all of that with the backdrop of me signing a historic tax cut, which basically cut taxes for ratepayers of our utility taxes in excess of $1.5 million. And so when I say that we've done some extraordinary things, we really have.
Well, toot your own horn there.
Like I said, it's a team effort. So it's not just me.
Right.
The team. So
fantastic. Now, yeah, you guys were, go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. Yeah, I say it is a team effort, but you know, I give the mayor credit on a lot, because when you are mayor, speaking from experience, you know, you need to be able to work with everyone and be able to come up with consensus on these items and get things through. And so a lot of that work happens in between meetings. So,
yeah, I mean, no doubt about it, Mike. You know, I was just kind of reminiscing about my first term on council and some of the promises I made. And one of the things that really stood out to me was I promised to really be an advocate for keeping taxes low, be an advocate in support of our police, and be an advocate in support of our small businesses. And that's one thing I can definitely say that I've done and I fulfilled. And really, you know, the citizens of Battleground, they hired me to do a job and to work well with others and to solve problems. And so we've done that by cutting taxes, increasing funding for police, roads, and like I referred to earlier, paying off debt, including our city hall. And so I'm glad to be a part of that.
So I got a question for you. Battleground's becoming a bigger city. And that one of the things that I've seen is that there's been a lot of growth out there. What things are coming up? What things are coming out there to Battleground that people haven't seen there yet?
Yeah, so we have walls and buildings going up in just every quadrant of our city. And whether that's, you know, new single family residents to apartment complexes to new businesses, some of the new businesses that are going to be, you know, rising up, if you will, very shortly. We are going to be getting a new Chipotle restaurant that's going to be coming into our community. We are going to be getting a new Burger King. We are getting, I think there was another, there was a 7-Eleven that's going to be coming in. And then we also have some surprises around the corner that, you know, can't confirm right now, but we have some things that are possibles that will be coming that I'm sure will be a value added to our community.
Yeah. So going back to the pandemic here, I wanted to touch on a little bit of this because I know, you know, I'm not necessarily comparing to other jurisdictions, but, you know, what unique challenges during the pandemic faced the Battleground community? If you were thinking, are there any challenges that were unique to Battleground, you know, compared to the other areas in our region?
Right. You know, Battleground had a lot of challenges that many other communities had, no doubt, in terms of, you know, we are the retail and economic hub of North Clark County. So, you know, whether you live in Yakult, Amboy, or all the unincorporated areas of North Clark County, you hit Battleground first before you go anywhere else. Yeah. And so what that means is we have a large amount of small businesses. And so those small businesses were impacted significantly when the pandemic first hit. And even today, you know, many of them have either closed up shop and are not coming back, or some of them are coming back but still struggling. And so I think the biggest challenge was just, you know, helping our small businesses and doing everything we can to you know, weigh in and being able to support them. Also, there's the challenges, just the logistic challenges of, you know, running a city with certain, you know, mandates that are in place set forth by the governor. And so, you know, those are two big challenges. And again, they are challenges that many communities have to face, but some more than others. So.
Well, and you throw on top, what's been really interesting about the pandemic is we think back to the recession, you know, has it been 10, 12 years ago now, and growth is still happening during the pandemic. It's been unique. We've had this economic recession, but yet growth has been happening. There are housing shortages. While we are seeing businesses unfortunately closing, other businesses are opening. And it's been interesting to kind of see how this has impacted the community differently than it did, you know, back in 2009 and 2010.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, a silver lining, and I hate to use the term silver lining because many people were and still are struggling and businesses alike as well. So I will continue to do what I can to help in any way I can that I can, and our council will too. But one silver lining, if you will, is the fact that people started shopping local. And we can see that from our sales tax revenue. Our sales tax revenue just soared to new heights. And so, you know, that's a silver lining.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here, but I want to come back. I have a question I want to ask you. You had a, and we'll get into this after the break, but you had a little bit of a run-in with Governor Inslee here earlier this year. So I want to have a little bit of a conversation about that. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back here with more filibusters in just a moment.
Community Radio Like This is brought to you by the generous support by our founding sponsors at ADCO Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at ADCO1.com. That's ADCO, the number 1.com.
Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Vansterdam, for their ongoing support of KXRW Vancouver Radio. Craft Cannabis is Vancouver's premier cannabis market for those 21 years of age and over. Visit craftcannabis.com to view an order from their full online menu, and they offer in-store, curbside, and touchless pickup to better serve you. Craft Cannabis is located in the Heights Shopping Center on the corner of Mill Plain and Andreessen Road. Open 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
All right, welcome back to Filibusters. Mike and John here with Battleground Mayor Adrian Cortez. So right before the break, we were talking about Adrian here. You had a little bit of a run-in with Governor Inslee. And tell us a little bit about that this past year. This was back, I think, in April or May, and made some headlines.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, the governor's, I'm sure, a really nice individual, nice gentleman. And it actually wasn't the first running I've had with him. I know, just real quick, before I talk about the incident you're probably referring to, previous to that, I was the chair of the CTRAN Board of Directors.
Yep.
And for those of you that don't know, CTRAN is our regional public transportation organization. And the governor had taken some pretty strong stances in terms of if we build a new I-5 bridge, there has to be light rail on it. And he made some statements really asserting, being forceful in that statement. And so as many people know, CTRAN is dedicated to bus rapid transit and not so much dedicated to light rail. And so as a chair, I drove up with a team of mine and on CTRAN, and we asked to have a meeting with the governor's office. And so that was kind of my first little confrontation with the governor. And we were respectful, but, you know, told him that, hey, you know, this is where we stand in terms of our agency. The instance you're referring to was the governor had, and this was early on in the pandemic, the governor was really taking an approach of kind of a statewide approach. And both myself and council, we were really looking to try to have the governor kind of look at this through a different lens and take a regional approach towards opening up certain areas of the state that had low transmission rates, and also asking for local input, because up to that point there was no local input in the decision-making process. And so we drafted a letter with my council that approved it, and I signed it, and we sent it up to the governor. And I know it did make a splash. I was interviewed by a couple of news stations after the day after, where they, you know, had the headline saying "Mayor sends letter about reopening" with a picture of me and the Governor Inslee on the right hand side. But you know what? It moved the needle. It really did. I think it's hard to deny that shortly thereafter, and when I mean shortly, I mean shortly, that the governor announced that he would be taking a regional approach, and he would be asking for local input on that regional approach. And so I was just proud to be a part of that whole process. Again, as I referred to earlier, I'm not solely responsible for it. It takes a team to do anything. And so I'm just proud to be a small part of that overall process on moving that forward. And we just recently, about 2-3 weeks ago, the governor asked for some local input through Clark County's mayors. And so we all met with the governor's office. And so again, that was really neat to have happen, because I knew kind of like the backstory that I just told you about how we got to that process.
So going back to your day job, I know you're an educator, and I kind of want to get your take on what's going on. You know, schools are starting to reopen a bit. So how has it been this past, oh gosh, it's, like I said, about a year now? I know that you've been in classroom instruction a little more than other teachers. So how are things going right now with education-wise with our kids?
Yeah, so you are right. I've been in the classroom with my students probably more so than other teachers. I am a special education teacher, and so my students are, you can make an argument, are furthest from the justice, educational justice center. And so I wanted to do whatever I can to bring them into the classroom to provide that equity and support for them. And mm-hmm. so I want to say probably 2 weeks into the school year, I started having almost all of my students, I want to say 97% of my students, attend in-class services 4 days a week, all day. And it's been that way all the way up till now. In terms of what it's been like, it's overall, for every teacher, myself included, it's been a challenge, because there's, you know, lots of moving parts, trying to work out schedules. You know, an example of that is our school district, the school district I work for, which is Camas School District. The high school just went to a hybrid several weeks ago, hybrid schedule. And so we were having students come in on A and B schedules. So, you know, A schedules, the students would be here all day for Monday and Tuesday. And then the people in the B schedules would be here Thursday and Friday all day for in-person instruction. And there was an incident where somebody came in with COVID and started passing it around. Didn't get it in the school, but got it outside the school and brought it in. And so we had to shut down for 2 days until they did contact tracing and whatnot. And so, you know, having to constantly shift and all of the intricacies involved in that has been definitely been a big, big challenge for all teachers.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely been a huge challenge. And especially, I know you're in special education, but for folks who've had to do the asynchronous learning, I think is what we call it, when the kids are at home, that we're not used to doing that. It's been a bit of a challenge for those of us at home that are working from home and having to help our kids with that as well.
Extraordinary challenge. Yes,
it is. Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, kind of thinking about that along the lines of education and what's going on and during the pandemic, you know, how do you see us coming out of this, if you will, you know, going into maybe even having back to normal school here the last couple months of the year, but as we make the, you know, leap into next year, has there been any discussion about doing anything different about the school schedules that you're aware of, as in having summer learning at all for kids, or is it just strictly, have you heard anything like that at all at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I have heard that, you know, summer learning is definitely going to be unlike any other previous summer learning, and there's going to be a lot of students taking advantage of the extended school year, also known as ESY. But in terms of moving to next year, you know, my hope is, I don't have any additional insight that other people might have, but my hope is that we will be able to get back to a more normal schedule for the next school year. And that's because we're having, you know, high levels of vaccination, and hopefully more people are willing to be vaccinated than maybe were afraid to, but they're seeing that, you know, all these people are getting vaccinated and there's really no issues.
So are you vaccinated?
I am. I just had my second shot on Friday, and I was feeling kind of out of the weather yesterday, but now I'm 100%. So I'm good to go.
There you go. Yeah, no, we got to end on a positive note here. I think we're going to jump into, I miss doing trivia. Like we had several shows this year where we didn't do trivia, and I've been really looking forward to doing trivia, especially with Adrian here. Because I like to compete and I'm looking forward to winning because I don't always win these. So, but I like my chances. Let's just say that. So John is now knows that and is now going to pick questions that only Adrian will know the answers to.
Probably.
Yeah. He's going to set me up now.
Yep. So let's do the housekeeping real quick. Of course, people can't see us and everything, so we're going to have Adrian choose an animal sound to do out when you wanted to let me know that you have an answer. What animal sound do you want to do?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Let's do a bald eagle.
Okay. Ooh. All right. What's it sound like? What's a bald eagle? No. He has to make the sound.
All right. Make the sound. Hurry.
I have to make the sound. No, I can't do that.
Then you gotta pick something you can make a sound with.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna get a sound. I'll just do a bark, like woof.
Okay.
All right, man. Mike? All right, John. What do you want me to be?
Do a cat. Oh. I'm just gonna be easy this time. We're running short on time here.
Meow.
Okay. All right. First question. What is the dot in the lowercase letter I called?
The dot in the lowercase letter I called.
Yep.
There's a name for it?
Ooh.
Time's out. It's called a tittle. Yeah.
Tittle. Okay.
I did not know that. All right, next question. In Disney's The Jungle Book, what kind of animal is Mowgli raised by?
Wolf.
That is correct, and that is the right answer.
Oh, all right. All right, I got to get this one or else I'm out. All right.
Here we go. How many countries did Yugoslavia split into?
Wolf.
Meow.
Adrian.
Three.
That's incorrect. Mike?
Four.
That's incorrect. It was five.
Oh.
Okay, last question, and then we got to start closing. In what city would you find Gorky Park?
Gorky Park?
What are these questions?
Gorky Park. I'm going to guess.
You have to make your sound.
Woof. Chicago.
No.
Meow.
Mike.
San Francisco.
No. Moscow.
Moscow.
Oh, quit this in. All right. We got to go.
Last one. Right. In what U.S. state would you find Fort Sumter?
Oh, Fort Sumter.
I'm letting the guests have this one.
Woof.
Go.
Is it Colorado?
No.
Mike.
South Carolina.
All right. We got to close out.
Did I get it?
This one's going to end in a tie.
All right. Yay. You got it. Good job, Mike.
All right. Well, Adrian, glad to hear things are going good in my hometown. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the Chipotle and the Burger King coming to town. So glad to hear everything's going great in Battleground, and good luck to you. I know you're up for re-election this year as well.
I am. I'm going strong, and look forward to being able to continue the good work that I've been doing. So,
awesome. Well, thanks again to Battleground Mayor Adrian Cortez, and we'll be back with more filibusters in just a moment.
court-appointed special advocates for children, known as CASA, are volunteers who advocate for the best interest of children who have come into the care of the state as a result of abuse, neglect, or abandonment. You can lend your voice and volunteer with CASA to change a child's story. CASA offers virtual information sessions and training. If interested, now is the time to get involved with CASA and make a lasting difference in the lives of children and families in the foster care system. Clark County CASA is a program of the YWCA Clark County. More information available at CASAClarkCounty.org.
All right, welcome back to Filibusters. Mike, without John, usually John's here, but John couldn't be here. So Mike, on his own, welcome back to Filibusters. So we are here talking with a couple of community activists who are working on a repeal referendum, Clark County Council, dealing with fireworks in Clark County. So I have Steve Couillat and Wendy Cleveland here with me today. Thank you guys for joining us, or joining me, I should say. I'm used to saying us, but it's just going to be me. So if I, you know, but thank you for joining us and me.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate it. And Wendy, you're there too, aren't you?
Yep. Good to be here.
All right. So, okay. Fireworks. It's always a controversial topic, or it seems to be controversial. You know, I know going back, was in 20, I think the summer of 2015, where we had that severe drought and we had a lot of fires starting up, and 4th of July fires, and sort of propelled the argument again about jurisdictions looking to do repeals or changing to safe and sane, or changing the amount of time that fireworks can be discharged during the 4th of July season, if you will. So that's been going on here for the last few years. And then the Clark County Council, well, you know what, Steve, I'll let you tell the story. Like, how did you get to a point where you decided to help with a petition on fireworks?
You know, it's, Mike, it's one of those things that actually sort of spontaneously or organically happened, I guess you would say.
All right.
I'm involved with a group of people on Facebook that, you know, we kind of track and discuss things going on in Clark County. And there seemed to be quite a bit of activity when it became public, well, pretty much after the meeting, that the council had voted to repeal the December ordinance, which would have instituted safe and sane fireworks for unincorporated Clark County at the end of this year. I guess it was one of those cases of be careful what you wish for, because I was one of the people in the forum that spoke up and said, well, people have mentioned the referendum process through the Clark County Charter. What does it take to get that started? Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, people were saying, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so. And then all of a sudden I was put in touch with Wendy Cleveland, and we started talking, and before I knew it, we were out gathering signatures. So that's literally what happened. And it was like, the more I got involved, it's like there were people saying, oh, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this. And it's like, at that point, it's more, let's do it just to show them that we can. And here we are.
So last December, and just to lay the political landscape a bit for people, we had a councilor lose his position, was replaced by someone else. So it's basically essentially a swing vote on this particular issue, right? So last December, the Clark County Council voted 3-2 in favor of banning fireworks, safe and sane, which are fireworks that I believe travel no more than a foot in the air,
no,
correct?
No more than a foot. And they don't, like 6 feet in.
6 feet in the ground.
Horizontally and a foot.
Yeah. So they did that in December, and then you have a new councilor seated in early January, and then there is a subsequent vote to basically go back to the way it was, if you will, mm-hmm. which was what?
Which would basically mean fireworks of any kind are legal in the unincorporated areas of Clark County. I'll give you some personal perspective, because that kind of relates to why I got involved in this.
Okay.
I live a block outside of the Vancouver city limits.
Gotcha.
City of Vancouver has banned fireworks altogether. So I'm right outside the city, which means come the 4th of July, people migrate to our parts of the county to set off their fireworks.
I'm going to second that. Yeah, that's exactly. I live a block outside as well, and I get that as well. They all come to my neighborhood.
Yeah. And it don't get me wrong. I like fireworks. I enjoy the big shows. I grew up in a state. Well, let's face it. I grew up in Wyoming, which is one of the least populous states in the country. And fireworks pretty much are illegal in Wyoming. So when I moved out here to Washington to learn that, I mean, fireworks are so rampantly available, it was just like, wow, this is different. And I don't feel like it used to be as bad as it is now. I mean, now it's like the 4th of July, if you're a pet owner or a veteran, you seek shelter in your own home because it just gets to be, I mean, I've joked with neighbors. It's like, I feel like we live in Little Beirut. I mean, the smoke is so thick, the noise is so loud, and it goes on until 1 or 2 in the morning. So it's not like it's poof and it's done.
Yeah.
You know, at least by them shortening the number of days that fireworks are available to be bought, it's actually condensed the period that you hear people shooting them off. So yeah, I don't want to be the curmudgeonly old guy on the block who's like, get off my lawn, but it's kind of like, I've reached this point where it's like, okay, people, I understand your right to shoot off fireworks, but this has gotten beyond normal, or what we would consider normal behavior.
And Wendy here, I do want to add to your point. Those points were made in the council meeting. People called in, people wrote in. 60% of the comments on the February 2nd meeting, which you can still watch if you go to the Clark County website. It's still there in the archives. 60% of the write-in comments that are still available to read were against them repealing the ban. So people agree with what you just said, Steve. It was kind of obvious that they were not taking in account the will of the people when they repealed the ban.
So going back onto the process here a little bit then. So you guys had a brief period of time to gather 10 days to gather 100 signatures ahead of that February 2nd meeting, correct?
Yes. And to be truthful, it's actually less than 10 days because you have to go through and get the language, even for just the petition to collect the signatures.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. By the time you get it all sorted out, it's like, okay, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to say. You're literally left with about 5 days to collect 100 signatures. What compounded the issue is that was all happening in the midst of the February snowstorm.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, their decision was on the second.
Yeah. We already had snow on the ground and it was starting to snow more. And we literally had 5 days to get these signatures. And at that point, it's like, okay, if we're going to go for broke, we can either do this and try, you know, we're going to try this and do it and succeed and go to the next phase, or we may not get the 100 signatures. You know, it's, let's see what we can do.
And it was during the pandemic. We literally had people driving to my house in a snowstorm to sign this on a table outside because we could not go to people's doors and gather this. I mean, it was kind of an incredible group effort.
Yeah.
So you had to get 100 valid signatures before you could actually go through the repeal referendum process.
By the 12th of February.
Yeah. And so you got those signatures. You got 100 valid signatures. And I know you collected more than that, but 100 valid. So now you're into this repeal process. So you have until... Okay, here's a couple questions. First of all, when do you have until you have to get signatures turned in, and how many signatures do you have to have?
We have to have 27,702 signatures, which is 10% of registered voters in Clark County, based on how many registered voters there were in the last gubernatorial election.
Pretty high turnout, too, last election.
We get 120 days to collect those signatures. And that timeline started basically because our signatures on the initial, you know, the 100 signatures had to be validated. They can, you know, compare those against voter registrations, certify that we met the requirement. And then the language has to be put together for what will actually appear on the ballot. So it has to get approved by the Clark County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, the Auditor's Office. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on internally with the county. And then, you know, it's like, okay, this starting tomorrow is your day one. You have 120 days starting tomorrow. And that date for us is June 23rd, 2021. And
which seems like that's far away, but when you have to gather 27,000 signatures, it's not that far away. And you got a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, and when was it, Wendy, you figured it was about 400 signatures on average a day that would be needed to hit the mark.
Yep. That's right. And that's why we created the website.
Yep. And the other thing you have to remember is we want to collect more signatures than what we need, because invariably there could be signatures that are, you know, kicked out, you know.
That's
for
right.
Whatever.
We're shooting for 30,000 at this point.
Yeah.
So who can sign this petition?
Any registered voter in Clark County.
Yeah. If you live inside a city or anywhere.
Doesn't matter if you live in a city or an unincorporated area. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all citizens of Clark County, and this is an issue for Clark County voters.
Yeah. So. I know we got to take a break here in just a minute, but I want to dive into this a little bit. You know, the one thing that I did see out there that Wendy had mentioned, that this was more than just about fireworks, what's going on right here. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we come back. Wendy, I want to dive into that thought a little bit with you there and see what you're talking about there. So we'll be taking a quick break here. You're listening to Filibusters. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
KXRW programming is made possible by the generous support by David Dansky with David's Toys, buyer and collector of old toy trains, including Lionel, Flyer, Ives, and Marks. He is interested in buying old transportation-related toys as well as toy trains from the late 1800s to the 1960s. David offers appraisals for fellow toy train lovers as well. David's Toys can be reached at 360-576-1602. That's 360-576-1602.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Filibusters. Mike here, along with Steve Kuya and Wendy Cleveland, talking about fireworks in Clark County, the repeal referendum effort that you guys have taken on to gather over 27,000 signatures by June 23rd. And what that will do is it will take us back to a safe and sane fireworks situation, if you will, in Clark County, where it previously was. So, you know, before the break, I'd mentioned that, you know, I'd seen that Wendy was quoted as saying that this was more than just about fireworks. And Wendy, could you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Yeah, I mean, the Clark County Council is meant to represent the will of the people and, you know, vote to reflect that. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, made their feelings known. They wrote in, they called in. It was a very well-attended meeting on February 2nd. And during that meeting, one of the counselors, Julie Olson, actually said, you know, let's allow the people to have at least an advisory vote. Let's hear from them, and then we'll make our decision. That was completely turned down. They wouldn't even vote on having an advisory vote. So I feel like it's time that we let the council know that as a community, we do care. And we will, if it takes 27,000 signatures, we will do this. We will make a valiant effort at the very least to show them that we're not just going to lay down and let them decide without hearing from us.
And this is a historic effort, right? I mean, this has not, a process like this has not been attempted before under the new charter, which passed back in 2014.
That's right. This is the first time it's been used. Honestly, it may be the first time that it's really been needed. And I'm glad it's there as a process for us to use.
So again, you know, what I wanted to ask is you mentioned this website that you guys have, and what's the best way to get to that website for folks? And can you talk through the petition process a little bit there, like how, when they, because I mean, if they can't, they're not going somewhere in person, how can they do this petition online?
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, during this pandemic, we are trying to gather 27,702 signatures. So we felt the best way to do that was to direct everyone to a place that they can do this virtually online. Now, while they can't sign it online, they can print out the petition itself to mail to us. And so we've created a website. If you go to Google and type in repeal referendum, fireworks, it should come right up. And you go on there, there's a big old button right in the middle of the page that says print referendum. You print it out, you sign it, and you mail it to Latte Da Coffee Shop, who the owner has graciously agreed to gather these for us, collect them there as a nice public location. You can also drop them off if you don't want to mail them. If you're like me and don't even have stamps to mail things in anymore, I do everything online. So, and get a great cup of coffee while you're there. It's a great place. So yeah, it's fairly easy to print it out. Now, when we do print it out, we need to make sure that we print it out double-sided. The referendum itself must be on the back.
And the other thing that's important with the petition itself is if you are collecting signatures on your own, you do need to make sure you've filled out the second signature part of the petition as the signature gatherer.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're just signing for yourself, then you sign it as yourself and then sign it as yourself as the signature gatherer, just okay. So it's valid.
Okay. So do you guys have any help doing this? Gathering signatures?
Let's put it this way. We've garnered a lot of interest throughout the community. The initial 118 signatures, a lot of those people were like, let me know when you get to the next phase, I'll go out and get more signatures for you. And they were already, you know, gathering or notifying people in their neighborhood. So there's a lot of organic, you know, literally going viral through the community where people are picking this up. I think Wendy can speak to some of the specific groups that she's talked with, but, you know, we've gotten coverage in the Columbian, we've gotten coverage in Clark County Today. Mm-hmm. It was notable. We made the Cheers and Jeers column this last week for the Columbian, and we got a cheer for our efforts. So yeah. Word is starting to spread. So I think Wendy's comment in one of those articles is we have, you know, retired firefighters and, you know, grandma with her quilting group out collecting signatures for this effort. Right.
It's really across the spectrum. You know, this is not a Republican issue or Democrat issue. I mean, it's, if anything, it's a libertarian issue. We want the right to vote on this. We want the people to be able to be heard. You know, this is, I don't know if it's a case of government overreach as much as it is just, it's time for us to be allowed to vote on something that is a contentious issue. It's, I think with something that is this important with this many people on both sides across the spectrum, that it's time for us to be able to vote. And this vote will be a binding vote once and for all. Mm-hmm. Once it's voted mm-hmm. on a November ballot, the people will have spoken.
Yeah. And very well, the vote could be, I mean, obviously, you know, you both are saying that you would like to go back to the way it was, but the vote very well could be that it doesn't. But
exactly.
The will of the people would be heard at that point either way.
Yeah. And
that's important.
I can't stress that enough because I've had calls from people that are like, that, you know, they're concerned that if you're signing this petition, it's a vote against fireworks. And it's like, nothing could be further from the truth. This petition is about getting this issue on the ballot so that the people can vote on it. And once and for all, as a community, we will know where we stand. It's no longer, you know, those who are in favor, those who are opposed. And it does get a little bit confusing because we're actually trying to repeal of the referendum, which from a language perspective gets very confusing. So at the end of the day, and Wendy would agree with me, what we're telling people is this petition is about getting this issue on the ballot for the people to have a say.
Exactly. Or this is going to keep happening. They're going to repeal of the repeal or something.
Well, that's a point I was going to make, right? I mean, all it takes is another change in elections or changes of folks up there that you could see this reverse because it's an ordinance. And then it could change again, and it could change again. Like I said, so this would be the will of the people and people being heard on. And if they're pro fireworks, well, there you go. There's an opportunity to vote for it right there. This has been an issue in the community for a while now. I mean, like I said, Vancouver has gone to a complete ban, correct? I know here in Battleground, you know, we've limited it down to a couple days. You know, I know that I know other jurisdictions, you guys probably know this better than me, but other jurisdictions have different restrictions they've put in place over the last several years. So there's a lot of inconsistencies out there too. The jurisdictions are all kind of doing their own thing. The county's doing their own thing. And so for folks like you that live on the borderline of the county and the city, and actually folks that live on the borderline of the county in any of the cities,
yes,
there's just different rules all over the place. And I know talking to, you mentioned firefighters, you know, talking to our fire district out here, when we looked at this in Battleground, what we were going to do about this a few years ago, their concern was the inconsistencies, harder to enforce, the rules, because people think, hey, I know it is, right? You have a Vancouver address, but you don't live in the city of Vancouver, correct? So a lot of people don't even think about that necessarily. Like, I live in Vancouver, I can or I can't do something. So going back to this being the first time that this something like this is being attempted, a historic perspective, you know, it's also an educational process too for folks. If there's another issue that does mm-hmm. come up, that people can exactly. actually, here's a process, you know? So are you guys prepared to get people reaching out to you in the near future when they want to do a similar process and tell them, okay, this is what we did. This is what we did. And we learned, and kind of give them the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, I know there have been attempts since the charter was passed, mm-hmm. but none of them have been successful. We're the first ones to get through, you know, gathering the 100 signatures within 10 days, getting it certified and getting to the next step. And, you know, we've had some pushback from people like, you know, you can't just write a petition and do something like this. And it's like, well, actually, yes, we can. It's actually written into the Clark County Charter that as a community, we voted in back in, what was it, 2015, 2016, that time frame?
Yeah.
And it's a mechanism whereby we can hold our elected officials accountable. We can go to them and say, you know, we, the undersigned, basically disagree with the decision that you made, and we have a process and we've exercised that process. So for me, looking at this, if we're successful in getting it on the ballot, whatever the results are, we at least got it to where the people could have a say rather than just five people sitting on a council when there is so much controversy over this topic. You know, if they had even just said, well, let's put an advisory vote out there to see what are people yeah. thinking, what would they support? And if you watch the minutes of that meeting, they were so blatantly ignoring that. I mean, they're just like, no, we're going to make our decision and that's going to be it. So, you know, I would encourage anybody, I mean, going forward, if you've got a legitimate concern and you have people who support your concern and you can get it in front of the people who need to see it through this process, by all means, do it.
You know, I'd say that is this decision or is starting this petition fun? No. Is it something I wish I didn't have to do? Absolutely. Will I do it again if they do something like this again? Yes, I will. In a heartbeat. And Steve will help me, right?
Probably. Well, we have to wrap things up here, but again, I wanted to mention for folks, the best way to access the repeal referendum is to basically go into Google and type in fireworks repeal referendum, Clark County, and you'll see it pop up, and you can go on there and follow the instructions. I appreciate you guys doing this work in our community. As you said, you are community activists, and this is being a citizen in action, if you will, to do some important work in our community and give this process a test, if you will. We haven't done it yet, so it's exciting to watch it develop. And I will ask real quick, where are you guys out on signatures number wise? You have a ballpark?
It's really too early to tell because there's a lot of people that are gathering signatures, but they haven't necessarily turned them in. But when gotcha. We check, people are like, oh, I'm, you know, and we get calls from people. Oh, I'm going to go out and hit all the dog parks and all the veterinarians' offices.
All right. All yeah, that's a great idea. Groups. Yeah.
So, you know, they're out there. We know they're out there.
Awesome. Well, Steve and Wendy, thank you so much for joining me here. Not us, but me today. So it's just that you just got Mike and didn't get John, but thank you both for joining. And we will make sure that we get the information out there as we post the show and all that, that folks can access the repeal referendum online. So Wendy, Steve, thank you both so much. Appreciate Thanks you joining us today.
Thank
all
you,
right. Mike. We'll be back with more filibusters in just 1 minute.
Big thank you to our friends at Boomerang Therapy Works and home of the KXRW Studios. Boomerang is the only physical therapy facility in Vancouver and Portland that specializes in the treatment of neuromuscular disorders and brain injuries like Parkinson's, MS, and stroke. They opened Boomerang to bring premier treatment to their patients. Find Boomerang Therapy Works in action on Instagram or Facebook and see how their patients are inspired in their recovery. They can be reached at 360-258-1637. That's 360-258-1637.
All right, welcome back to Filibusters. Mike and John here. Another set of good interviews there, John. I do have to say.
I do agree, man. Who knew that there was so much information to be had about fireworks and Battleground?
Wow. Well, you know,
Battleground's not fireworks, always making it. Not fireworks in Battleground, but fireworks as one interview and Battleground. Unless, of course, no, I won't go there. I won't go there, Mike, because you had some fireworks before back in the day.
No. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. So, but there are some things heating up. See, transition there. That was a little transition. Are things heating up? Segue in Clark County right now. We are here in late March, and we're already getting people announcing for office, running for office. Vancouver City Council races. We just had the mayor of Battleground on, who announced his reelection a little while ago. It's heating up.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the future brings. You know, I mean, we have so many different things going on in Clark County and Vancouver and other municipalities with, you know, regards to homelessness and things like that, that I can't wait to hear what people have to say about the issues and what they can do to help out our community.
And a lot of elections this year, pretty much all the city council elections. I mean, not every single city council seat is up, but every city's got city council elections, mayor's elections. All our nonpartisan offices are really were up this year, most of them anyway. So going to be exciting to see. School boards, yeah. See what's got school boards. Is cemetery district up?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's some cemetery districts. I want that job. I want that job because you know what? You have all those people that would be underneath you, right?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. You know what else is heating up? What else is heating up right now is Joe Biden's approval rating dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. 72% approval on dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. You think that has anything to do with people getting money in their bank accounts the last couple of weeks?
Show me the money.
I think it's probably a big reason.
Well, of course, I think it's probably helpful. But I also think that, I mean, the fact is that, you know, they've gotten the information out there as far as what that plan is actually doing. And
the American Rescue Plan. Yeah.
The American Rescue Plan, and that it's not just about throwing a couple of bucks in people's pockets, but it's about actually helping out local communities. I mean, Clark County got it's like
Oh, 90 plus million dollars into the county itself, not to mention all the other jurisdictions that are going to be getting money as well to put toward all kinds of programs to help businesses, to help folks. There's a lot of money coming here to help people. And I think the other big driver here with the approval rating is obviously the number of vaccinations. I mean, we've got our, we've got Dr. Melnick here in Clark County, who is out there saying we need to have vaccinations for everybody 16 and older start now. So, and I know that's in the works. We have a definite date for that yet or not, but I know that that's something that the state's looking at and maybe happening here by very shortly. So that's great news. That's great news. We've got, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say, I think Biden's plan, the American Rescue Plan, says that he wants everybody to have availability for the vaccine by May 1st.
Well, there you go. That's not too far away.
Nope.
Only a month away. Yeah. So lots of the, as we've been hearing, checks in banks and shots in arms. Right. I think that's the slogan that they're using right now. Something like that.
There you go.
And I got my first COVID shot here. It's been about a week or so now. The Pfizer vaccine. So I got that. Nice. I'm going back in a couple of weeks to get my second shot. And I survived. So
yeah, you know, look at that. I made it.
I had a sore arm for like 4 days, but no side effects. So I consider myself lucky. I know the second shot people tend to have more side effects. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And I got mine coming up. So I'll, of course, social media post my Band-Aid on my arm. So I'll be
there. You go.
Woo, look at me. I got a selfie. Yay.
Yeah. You need to do that. And we need to know how you're doing, John. Make sure you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to be around for all these elections coming up.
That is the only reason to stick around. So, and you know, this show. So anyway,
well, no, people got to listen to this show. I mean, where else are they going to get their political information for Southwest Washington?
The moral of the story is you're going to be able to get your vaccine. If you don't qualify yet, it's going to happen real soon. And if you do, please go out and get it. Continue wearing masks. We're getting close. It's been a year and we're getting closer. I didn't think a year ago who would have thought a year ago we'd be sitting here a year later in the same situation, essentially. But, getting closer. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening again to Filibusters. Again, we want to thank our folks that are pushing the fireworks petition. We want to thank Battleground Mayor Adrian Cortez for joining us today. And we will be back with more Filibusters very, very soon. Bye-bye.